Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Madhava Kunja Vihari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Madhava Kunjabihari Gopi Jana Balabha Giri Vradhari Gopi Jana Balabha Giri Vradhari Gopi Jana Balabha Giri Vradhari Jasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari Madhava Kunjabihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari Madhava Kunjabihari Gopi Jana Ballabha Giri Vradhari Giri Vradhari Gopi Jana Ballabha Giri Vradhari Jasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari
Jaya Vishnupad Paramahamsa Asta Tarasata Sisi Mother's Divine Grace Isi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Kid Ananta Koti Vaishnavarinda Kid Granthrachi Mad Bhagavatam Kid Sri Sri Krishna Janmasthami Mahamahotsav Kid Samvita Bhaktavrinda Kid Sai Gaur Premanandi All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Shrinvanti Gayanti Grananti Abhikshnashaha. Smaranti Nandanti Tavehitam Jana. Te eva pasyantya chire natavakam. Bhava pravaho paramam padambujam. Shrinvanti gayanti granantya bhikshnashaha. Smaranti nandanti tavehitam janaha. Te eva pasyantya chire natavakam. Bhava pravaho paramam padambujam. Vanti gayanti grananti abhikshnashaha. Smaranti nandanti tavehitam janaha. Te eva pasyantya chire natavakam. Shrinvanti gayanti grananti abhikshnashaha. Smaranti nandanti tavehitam janaha. Te evam pasyantya chire natavakam. Bhava pravaho paramam padambujam. Shrinvanti gayanti grananti abhikshnashaha. Maranti nandanti tavehitam janaha. Te eva pasyantya chire natavakam. Bhava pavaro ram padambujam. Ladies. Shrinvanti gayanti grananti abhikshnashaha. Smaranti nandanti tavehitam janaha. Te eva pasyantya chire natavakam. Bhava pavaha paramam padambujam. Shrinvanti gayanti grananti abhikshnashaha. Maranti nandanti tavehitam janaha. Te eva pasyantya chire natavakam. Bhava pavaro paramam padambujam. Shrinvanti gayanti grananti abhikshnashaha. Smaranti nandanti tavehitam janaha. Tam eva pasyantya chire natavakam. Bhava pravaho paramam padambhujam. Shrinvanti.
Here. Gayanti, chant. Grinanti, take. Abhikshnashaha, continuously. Smaranti, remember. Nandanti, take pleasure. Tava, your. Ihitam, activities. Janaha, people in general. te, they. Eva, certainly. Pashyanti, can see. Achirena, very soon. Tavakam, your. Bhava pravaha, the current of rebirth. Uparamam, cessation. Pada ambujam, lotus feet. Translation, O Krishna, those who continuously hear, chant, and repeat your transcendental activities or take pleasure in others doing so, certainly see your lotus feet, which alone can stop all the repetition of birth and death. This is one of the prayers by Queen Kunti. Petrarca, could you turn the volume up? I selected it because it follows a series of four other verses that are Queen Kunti's expanded reasons from Bhagavad Gita why Krishna appears in this world. It's Krishna Janmashtami. And in the seventh chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna describes why he appears. And he said that before Kunti's giving her different choices. He already said, Pritranaya Sadhunam. Three. Vinashaya Chaduskritam Dharma Sangsthapanartaya Sambhavami Yuge Yuge. Krishna appears. Sambhavami. By his own potency, Sambhavami. By his own potency, he chooses to appear. Yuge Yuge, from age to age, from time to time. So the relationship between Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita is Bhagavatam is the graduate study of the undergraduate study. The graduate study has the same, it's not a different teaching, it just explains in further detail something that is presented in an undergraduate level. So the principles that Krishna describes in Bhagavad Gita aren't, Kunti's not second-guessing them. Well, maybe bliss should have been longer. Maybe it should have been a different list. That's not what's going on. She's taking that same teaching and just expanding. And this verse is continuing from the final of those four verses. It says that the reason for Krishna's appearing was some, yeah, I'll read the verse. And yet others say that you appear to rejuvenate the devotional service. Dharma sangsthapanartaya. Some say that you appear to rejuvenate the devotional service of hearing, remembering, worshipping, and so on, in order that the conditioned soul suffering from the material pangs might take advantage and gain liberation. So, Dharma Sangstha. He's establishing, re-establishing Dharma, when Dharma was lost, or at least there's a large part of the population lost, the demoniac king population particularly. And as a result, people under the demoniac kings, they had lost the principle of Dharma. They may have been following something, they were following something, but lost the principle. The principle is taking shelter of Krishna. So he appeared. And when he appeared, He performed wonderful pastimes that we're going to be hearing about all day long. Wonderful, wonderful pastimes. And by that process of hearing, remembering, chanting, and so forth, those pastimes, the verse is saying, that those that are suffering, anyone can say they're not suffering. No material pangs. No one can say that. We're all suffering. Even whoever you are, whatever someone is, they're suffering material pangs. And to get relief from those material pangs, the suffering of material pangs, Krishna appears to give subject matter for us to hear, chant, and always remember. Shravana, smarana, arhani, karishyan, iti, kechana. He's giving that opportunity for us. So we'll be doing, taking that gift that he gave and gratefully hearing and chanting and remembering. I'd like to go through each of the verses that Kunti expresses. Some say, and then others say, and some others say. So we'll go through the verses. But I want to spend a little bit of time, first of all, with this opening line. Some of you may recognize the opening line from another verse in the Bhagavatam. Shrinvanti gayanti grananti sadavaha. Does that sound familiar? It's found in the first canto, in the previous chapter, where previous two chapters, where Narada is instructing Vyas to write Srimad Bhagavatam. My little capacity for appreciation of the beautiful literature of Srimad Bhagavatam includes this little piece, that there are certain phrases within the Bhagavatam that appear like a refrain. You know, in popular music, it's like beat you over the head with a certain phrase that's over and over again and over and over again and over again and over and over again, and just sing it in different melody and over again. So that's what you're supposed to remember. So the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada would speak from the Bhagavatam like that. He would just take phrases. Nate vidu svarta katim vishnu. And it over and over again. It would say it over and over again. Because when you hear it over and over again, it goes then after deeply. And after saying the phrase, he would then expand and then go back to the phrase and then expand and then go back to the phrase. It's like a hub that has many spokes, and whatever you get on that spoke, it takes you right to the hub, and the hub is the phrase. So that sound vibration, it works like a sutra. It's very compressed, very packed, tightly packed. And each time you hear that again and again, it develops a realization, meditation, just like in the morning after, I would speak of the Hare Krishna mantra, after the morning Mangal Arati, we recite, you know, the 10 offenses and the Shikshastakam, and you hear them again and again, or the Govinda prayers again and again. It starts to do something besides, you know, some recitation, rote recitation. It starts to become, it goes a little deeper if you're, you know, if your light's on, if you're paying attention. And it awakens an appreciation, your dormant Krishna consciousness. So this is one of those phrases. Shrinvanti, gayanti, grananti. Hearing, vibrating, bringing into your heart. Grananti, he's translated here as take, or bring within. Shrinvanti, Gayanti, Grinanti. And this is Abhikshnashaha, it means continuously. So, at least on Janmashtami, we'll be able to continuously, whoever's in the temple room, or you're in the kitchen, or wherever you're doing, you can hear and chant and remember. Try it. It's liberating. Exactly what the previous verse is saying. And Krishna appears for that reason, to liberate us from the pangs of material existence by that very simple hearing, chanting, remembering. Grananti, taking within yourself continuously. Smaranti, Nandanti. Another appreciation is in poetry, there is, just as Nityananda Prabhu used this morning after Mangalarti and his announcements, the alankar, the decorations of the deity. So in poetry, there's alankar, decorations of poetry. And one of those is alliteration. A certain syllable, particularly a consonant, is repeated many times. And here it's consonants and vowels, Srinvanti, Gayanti, Grananti, Smaranti, Nandanti. It draws one's attention just to hear that sound vibration again, and it's a decoration, it's a poetic embellishment. Just like whoever designed this outfit did a fantastic job. Whoever made it did a good job, but whoever designed it did a fantastic job. It's very beautiful. And it's very easy to feast your eyes on the deity, along with the beautiful decorations of the deity. And wait till you see later in the day. All those flowers that you saw downstairs, what's going to happen when they get on the altar? It's for glorification of the object, Radha and Krishna, or Kishore Kishori. And the alliteration of poetry is also to relish, because the message is not only there, as it's there in Bhagavad Gita, with all these nice, it's therefore, it's Srimad, beautiful Bhagavatam, glorification of the personality of Godhead, Bhagavan. That which is in relation to Bhagavan is Bhagavata, Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam. So, Smaranti, remember. Nandanti, take pleasure. Go ahead. Spend your whole day taking pleasure in hearing, chanting, remembering, bringing into your heart that the message of the glorification of Krishna. Tave hitam janaha, your activities. Tava hitam, your activities. So she's addressing Krishna directly. And she's saying that those who do this, not only they're liberated, but they'll very soon see your lotus feet. Would you like to see Krishna's lotus feet? There's a process. It's right here, described. And it says, very soon, achirena. Achirena, very soon. How soon? By midnight? In this lifetime, at least. Continuously apply yourself to this. So now we'll go back and hear from Kunti. Her appreciation of why different people say give different reasons why Krishna appeared. the verse that precedes that, she's appreciating Mother Jasoda. The pastimes of Krishna are to attract our hearts. So she's attracted by the love of Mother Jasoda. She's mother. She's in relation to Krishna. She's the aunt. So it's, you know, next to the mother. Vasudev. And Kunti. Anyway, so she's the aunt of Krishna. So she has that motherly affection. But she appreciates the motherly affection of Mother Yashoda as out of this world. I mean, it's beyond Kunti's capacity to even fathom the love of Mother Jasoda for Krishna. And because of the love of Mother Jasoda for Krishna, the love that Krishna has for Mother Jasoda, because Krishna reciprocates with the love of his devotee, as he's reciprocating with the love of Kunti. He reciprocates with the love of Yashoda. And with a rope in her hand, trying to tie Krishna. And a little stick, Krishna cries, "He who is the supreme, powerful, with one, he finished Kamsa, the scourge of the universe. The demigods were afraid of him. And Krishna won, but it's so powerful, and so many other demons Krishna killed. But here's Mother Jasoda with a little stick in her hand, and Krishna cries, and she, Kunti describes, the mascara, the cudgel around Krishna's eyes is drooping down his cheek, and it's not imitation tears or he's just play acting. That would be easy to understand. Not play acting. He who is feared by fear personified is afraid of the little stick in Mother Jasoda's hand. He feels fear. Inconceivable. More inconceivable for Kunti than us, because she sees Krishna as the super soul. That's inconceivable for us. To see somebody as super soul. And in fact, they're super soul. Or super soul is their expansion. And he's standing in front of you. But that he's afraid of the little stick in Mother Jasoda's hand. And he cries. And he's fearful. His whole body is shaking. So she throws the stick away. She doesn't want to see Krishna cry. Because she loves Krishna. It's just, it's inconceivable. So, the reasons why Krishna makes his appearance are then discussed. So, you who are totally inconceivable, you who are unborn, take your birth. It's contradictory. It's a mystery. It's inexplicable. So, why he who is unborn does the inexplicable? He takes birth. Some say it was for the glorification of pious kings. So in the purport, Prabhupada explains, the pious king, Yudhisthira. He, Krishna, wanted to have us remember the Pandavas. And so he appeared. And because of his fame, to this day, Yudhisthira is famous. And the Pandavas are famous, and certainly Arjuna is famous. Because they're related to Krishna. So he came to bring fame to the pious kings, his devotees. And Prabhupada explained, there's another pious king I don't know who this other pious king is, Maharaj Nala, who is a pious king. But he's not famous like Arjuna and Yudhisthira because he wasn't related to Krishna. He wasn't a devotee. He was pious. But who knows that person? But we know Yudhisthira. Krishna descended to glorify such persons. And others say that the unborn took birth to please King Yadu. So Krishna appeared in the Yadu dynasty. If Krishna didn't appear in the Yadu dynasty, who would ever hear of King Yadu? He'd be another blip in the screen of infinity, of history, and nobody would know. But we know King Yadu. Krishna appeared in the Yadu dynasty to honor this great devotee, King Yadu. And so we have some, at least, curiosity or eagerness to find out what was this King Yadu like, that Krishna, wanting to glorify him, appeared in his dynasty. And so that's presented in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna appeared for that purpose, some say. Others say that since both Vasudeva and Devaki prayed for you, you have taken birth as their son. And Krishna confirmed. This is Pritranaya Sadhunam from Bhagavad Gita. So Vasudeva and Devaki, in previous lifetimes, they did the same thing. They underwent austerity and they prayed. The purpose of that austerity was to have the personality of Godhead as their son. And he was very pleased. It was an ordinary austerity, an ordinary prayer, an ordinary devotion. It was pure, pure, perfectly pure. So Krishna appeared. Now, as Vasudeva and Devaki, they were in great distress. They were in great distress because the voice from the sky said, Kamsa, the eighth child of Devaki, will kill you! So he didn't waste a moment. He was going to kill Devaki before that happened. But she had such a demoniac. Prabhupada writes that he was her brother. There's detail. Not exactly. But because of closeness, kind of like bloodline brother, that kind. From not exactly the same mother or father. Mother and father, not that kind. The other kind. Brother. Kamsa. He was so much brotherly that on her wedding day, he's a king, and he's being the chariot driver. Like Krishna is the chariot driver of Arjuna. It's a humble position. He was taking that humble position. Big Kamsa taking the position of the chariot driver of his sister. But, you know, like that, he's ready to kill her. Hey, you're finished, sister. So, having such a brother, she's pure devotee. She takes shelter of Krishna. And Krishna appeared. Some say. Undoubtedly you are unborn, yet you take your birth for their welfare and to kill those who are envious of the demigods. This is also described in the Bhagavatam. Those who are envious of the demigods. Well, we know who those personalities are. Envious of the demigods means they wish that that which is offered to the demigods should be offered to them. And in order to get people that are inclined to offer things to the demigods to offer to them, they do demoniac things. They, like King Vena, they just stop sacrifices. It's not, you know, they don't want them to worship the demigods, they want them to worship the personality of Godhead instead. They don't want them to worship the demigod, they want them to worship them. Everything should go to them. Just like Hiranyakashipu, hearing from Prahlad about Vishnu. He was envious. He wanted to be in that position. He wanted to be eternal controller of the universe. And there was an obstacle. There was already somebody who was the controller of the universe. So he was envious of Vishnu. And although he was so powerful, Hiranyakashipu was so powerful, everybody was afraid of him, except Prahlad. Prahlad wasn't afraid of him, not at all. And he was so powerful, he tried to destroy Prahlad, and Prahlad couldn't be destroyed. Boy, did that irritate Hiranyakashipu. I'm so powerful, and I can't harm you at all. Where are you getting your power from? Same place that you are, Dad. From Vishnu. Oh! Where is Vishnu? He's everywhere. Oh! Demoniac. So, to relieve the earth of the demoniac, those that are envious of the demigods, and be envious of the demigods means, it implies, it includes the primordial envy of the personality of Godhead. So to relieve the earth of the burden of such personalities who wish to stop Vedic practice. It's, you know, it's very similar to Lord Chaitanya and his reaction to the Kazi when he tried to stop the Sankirtan performance. We all know the story. He had his constables break the drum and said, if you do this again, we'll turn you into Muslims, or we'll put you in jail, or you better watch out. Hey, it goes on. Where people are envious of the personality of Godhead. That's not nice, but please understand that that's one of the impetuses for the personality of Godhead to descend, according to Kunti. To relieve the earth of those who are envious of the process of sacrifice unto the demigods and unto the personality of Godhead ultimately, because he's the bhokta of all those sacrifices. Bhokta ram yagita pasam. He's the enjoyer, ultimately beneficiary of all sacrifices. Others say that the world being overburdened like a boat at sea is much aggrieved, and that Brahma, who is your son, note, she's seeing Krishna as Vishnu, Garbhadakshay Vishnu specifically, but Vishnu, no, Vishnu, Supersoul. Supersoul is an expansion of Garbhadakshay Vishnu, and so you are the father of Lord Brahma. He who was the firstborn, you are unborn, and you're his father. You are the source of Lord Brahma, who is the creator of this universe. So, like a boat at sea, unless you've been in a boat at sea, probably the metaphor doesn't mean so much. I've heard Prabhupada explain what his experience was like crossing the Atlantic Ocean in the Jaladutta. I mean, you look at the picture of the Jaladutta, it's this huge cargo ship. But even a huge cargo ship in the midst of the Atlantic Ocean, it's very risky. Very, 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 very dangerous. People do it. It's an occupation. They take risks to do something dangerous, cross the ocean in a boat. But when the waves are violently high and the wind is... you're out in the sea. It's very, very, very fearful. So, like a boat at sea, the world was overburdened by demoniac kings, like a boat at sea in a very dangerous condition. And so you appeared. You, who are the father of Lord Brahma, who created the place and the oceans and the boats, you know, the whole thing. You appeared. Brahma prayed for you to appear, and you appeared to stop the trouble. Vinashaya Shaduskritam. And then the fourth verse is, others, and yet others say, that you appear to rejuvenate the devotional service, the hearing, remembering, worshipping, and so on, in order that the conditioned souls suffering from material pangs might take advantage and gain liberation. Not just liberation, certainly liberation from the pangs of material existence, but more completely go back to Godhead. Because as long as we were a boat at sea, or as long as we're a soul embodied with material coverings, gross and subtle, there's going to be pangs. A number of us are sitting in chairs because there's pangs. Can't sit like everybody else. And then, etc. There's a very nice devotee that came to visit me in New York when I was there. And he has, I think it's Parkinson's disease. His whole body just wobbles like this. He can't hold his hand still. And it was so under the desk, his feet are moving. And his wife died. And, you know, because he's quite old. And, you know, the mind doesn't focus like it used to, and somebody, you know, everything just starts breaking down. If you live in an old age, may you live in old age and not experience the pangs of old age, but you're going to experience the pangs of old age, or you die before you get old. And it's certainly a very pious person. He was describing to me his wife's dying, because it was for a whole year she couldn't do anything. Can you imagine for a whole year not being able to do anything? Whew. For active people, it's unthinkable. She chanted, and she described, you know, she was going, and she said, "Hold my hand and hold tighter," and, you know, chant and chant and chant, and her mouth opened and she left her body. He described the whole thing. Now, anyway, glorious. But, you know, too much attachment to his wife and not sufficient attachment to Krishna is my little analysis. And I shared that with him. And, you know, how do you say that to a person that's missing his wife who he spent his whole life with, that you should give your attention now to Krishna? So we're not at that brink of these age-wise ready to give up our body. We have a whole lifetime of, at least if Krishna gives that opportunity, practice this. Shrinvanti gayanti grananti abhikshnashaha smaranti nandanti tadehitam janaha. Nice verse. Practice, practice. And Janmashtami is a wonderful day to fill our words and our thoughts and our sound vibration and our memory thinking all day of Krishna. It's practice. Purification and practice. To prepare ourselves to... I wanted to speak about this last line too. It's another very nice phrase in this verse. Bhava. Bhava is a very different word than bhava. Bhava means ecstasy and bhava means material existence. But bhava, pravaha, uparamam. Uparama means cessation. The cessation of the current of rebirth. So there's the boat, and the current, the forces of nature are they don't stop. They're relentless. Stop! It doesn't stop. Stop! It doesn't stop. 10 stops, it doesn't stop, it just keeps moving. But bhava, pravaha, uparatam, padam, bhujam. The lotus feet of the personality of Godhead become your object of absorption rather than stop, stop, stop. Well, make your choice. We all have that free will option, make our choice. And those that are unfortunate make the wrong choice. Those that are really, really unfortunate don't even know what the choice is. But we have the choice. At least, here it is. Take to the process. And... we're taking to the process, otherwise we'd be somewhere else. Something that Prabhupada writes, I'll read it, in the purport, is the Bhagavad Gita is one of the popular literatures which are generally heard, chanted, repeated, etc. by people in general. But in spite of such hearing, etc., sometimes it is experienced that the performer of such devotional service does not see the Lord eye to eye. Sometimes. Now, where he goes with that is that's because they're not hearing from the right source, primarily, largely in the world. But we're very fortunate. We're hearing in disciplic succession. We've been rescued. How many people don't have that access to disciplic succession? Whew. We're very fortunate. And then, so here we are engaged in the process of proper source hearing and then repeating that which we've heard and taking it inside ourselves, grananti. The goal, the aspiration, is not exactly see the lotus feet, but if through that process of hearing, that's seeing. If proper shelter is taken, in the hearing, chanting, remembering, nandanti, relishing the subject matter of Krishna and Krishna Katha, you'll see through your ears. A number of times Prabhupada spoke like that. We value so much these eyes, but spiritually you'll hear through your ears. You'll experience Krishna through your ears before through your eyes. Like with the worship of the deity. He said, you worship very, very nicely, and one day Krishna will speak to you and say, I am like this. So if any of you pujaris have such an experience, please share that with us, because we'd like to know that Krishna spoke to you and said, I am like this. And if not, keep practicing of worshiping Krishna very nicely and hearing and following the indication. Let us together have a very nice Krishna Janmashtami festival. And may that day come when Krishna says, I am like this. And until then, we very faithfully continue going down the path of making the heart more pure, ready for Krishna to come and say, I am like this. And passing over the miseries of material existence. Unnecessary, completely unnecessary miseries of material existence. Because there's Krishna's lotus feet. This wonderful process is giving us access. Hare Krishna. So, any discussion? Comments? Yes?
I just had a question just about in Queen Kunti's prayers, she's saying, others say, I was just looking for a clarification on her use of the word others. Like, why do you think she's saying, and others say, who do you think, is she referring to?
People.
Just, okay, because...
You know, here's a celebrity. You know, there's mundane celebrities, so we won't go there. But the celebrity. And people talk about the celebrity. So Krishna was a celebrity. Some people say, and others say,
I guess my question is, was the Bhagavad, because the Bhagavad Gita happened on Kurukshetra, so then did, I guess this is just my lack of knowledge on like the history then, but then did Arjuna then tell other people, or did the Yadus know of that discussion at that point then? You know what I mean?
No, I don't know what you mean. Sanjaya.
Yeah.
He had, you know, real good capacity. He wasn't on the battlefield, but he heard. And then narrated to Dhritarashtra. And then Vyasadeva compiled. So, who knew exactly what Krishna said to Arjuna in the battlefield of Kurukshetra right after it happened? Depends on whether they spoke to Sanjaya or Vyasadeva or Arjuna. But after Vyasadeva compiled, then people had access. Is that what your question is?
Yeah, that
okay.
Clarifies a little more.
Okay. Okay.
Maharaj, I was on this word of abhikshanasha, continuously hearing and chanting and remembering. And I was thinking in the context of our temple, especially the summertime, so many festivals and so much sevas there, that sometimes I feel that when I go for the hearing chanting program, it might be like a tendency to make it kind of like a ritual in between services, because there's many, many services to do. So I was kind of wondering where this seva, in this meditation that we're hearing this morning, where does this seva aspect come into play? And how do we... I don't know if I'm giving a proper expression to my...
Meaning seva when you're not having a festival? Like you're cutting vegetables in the kitchen? Like that kind of seva?
Seva, any type, festival or no festival. But there's much seva to do. So how do we continuously hear and chant? Because the image that usually comes
you
up
do that
mind.
While you're doing your seva. Let me share this with you. I was recently in China. And one of the places that I visited in China was a new farm community. I say new because the persons have had almost zero association with devotees, but they've had association of Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is. Yay! Bhagavad Gita as it is, ki jai! So, it's practically as far north as you can go in China and not be in Siberia. You know, so the growing season is 4 months, and then it's too cold to grow things, and then snow goes up over the roof. So, you know, they have lots of time during the winter for hearing and chanting. But during the 4 months, that's the only time that they can grow things. I mean, while I was speaking, they were falling asleep. So I asked, are you tired? And, you know, through a translator, and he said, I get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and take rest at 9 o'clock at night. And all day working for 4 months. Pretty intense. But he said, all day long, we're chanting Hare Krishna. It's our rule at the farm. All day long. And they follow Bhagavad Gita as it is, but they have very little time. So they take... I didn't get exactly what their procedure is, but they have some time during the day where they hear Bhagavad Gita, I guess, if they can stay awake long enough. Or when they come together to have their meals, maybe someone is reading Bhagavad Gita or something like that. But that's like their scripture. Although they don't have anyone guiding them yet. Now that's going to happen. But other than Prabhupada and his Bhaktivedanta purports. So there's an example of seva when they're hearing and chanting. And you know, their hearts are they don't even know what it means. Because, you know, that one of the person's self-realization. I heard it before I met them, and then I heard it directly from this one particular person that has the lease in her name. Self-realization. And so that means chanting Hare Krishna and reading Bhagavad Gita. How much they understand, I don't know. Probably very little. But their faith is in the holy name. So, and with association, that will grow. So seva, where so you're in the kitchen and you're cleaning the prasadam hall or you're whatever you're doing. I mean, you don't need to ask this because just like when you're driving, you're singing. You're doing seva. You're not at a festival or you're just driving and you're singing softly. There are ways to, if one has a desire, the mind can be absorbed in hearing and chanting just from that which you've heard. When there's some eagerness, that's where the mind goes. When I was in Mayapur, after China, I went to Mayapur for a 5-day meeting, and while there, you know, very nice classes in the morning. And the subject matter that I heard in those classes is still with me. Because, you know, I heard a description of a Krishna pastime. And it was a very nice description, so I inquired from Bhakti Chumaraj, who had given the class, please tell it again. So he told it again. And then where did it come from? And I did some further research, and there's a whole I'm going to share them on Sunday night. Because the crowd tonight is not going to be, you know, different. So, but you have an eagerness, then it stays with you. Even you're doing some seva. You're remembering, you're chanting, you're speaking, you're hearing. There's ways. Where there's eagerness, there's ways. And then life is a big festival. Hearing, chanting, remembering festival. And Krishna is very kind. He's given us all this subject matter. So many fantastically attractive subject matters. Pastimes, philosophy, loving dealings, reversals, difficulties, all kinds of nice things. Up front here. Does that address your question? Okay.
Welcome back. Thanks for the class.
Thank you.
You were speaking on the verse of hearing and vibrating constantly. We were just at a festival on Lollapalooza. We're all down there chanting.
Yeah, I heard about it.
Yeah, we had a nice time. And the kirtan stopped for a second. Then we had this Christian next to us. He was like, don't stop. You know, you can't stop. You know, this vain, then he mentioned this vain repetition. Can you maybe just, you know, maybe go and explain this vain repetition, what he was trying to apply to what we were doing. This
sounds like
doing
what he was
this
doing.
Over and over.
I'm not a Bible scholar, so I'm sure that there's a bunch of things. There's probably some history and probably some etymology. Like the way that a particular word is translated has to do with the history of how the word is used. That's etymology. So I'm not a Bible scholar, so I can't say for sure what was intended by that translation of whatever the Greek or Aramaic was originally. I can, you know, then I'm in a place that I'm not comfortable with speculating. Perhaps something like with idol worship, that's also condemned. So idol worship is something that people just fabricate, idols, and then they worship something that they fabricated, and that's condemned. It's condemned in the Bible, it's condemned in the Vedas also. One should not do that. That's condemned. So a man made something, and somebody makes a religion of that man-made something. A refrain that then becomes popular or becomes an object of worship. That's vain repetition. This isn't vain repetition. Spiritual, you know, mantras or names of God. Any more than, let's say, the Lord's Prayer is repetition of a prayer. That's not vain repetition or repetition of God's name. It's not vain repetition. Or there's another way that word vain is taken, and that's, you know, in a blasphemous way. Take the names of God in vain, to blaspheme God's name, vilified. So, now go back to what I said originally. There must be some, whatever the word that's now translated as vain repetition was, there's probably some history behind why that word was used and or why it was translated as vain repetition. And I don't know the history. But from a transcendental perspective, something that's taken where you don't know the meaning and you just, it's a man created something and you take that as your religion, that's vain. And repeat that over and over again, that's vain. Repetition. But transcendental sound vibration is not. Ask that the person, do you praise the Lord? And how many times a day do you say, praise the Lord? Is that vain repetition? Or if you say, hallelujah, or in songs, biblical, or it's not biblical, songs within the church, and they say, hallelujah, hallelujah, the hallelujah chorus, is that vain repetition? What is and what isn't? This isn't. Hallowed be thy name. So from your own teachings, from the biblical teachings, this is what we're doing. That's not vain repetition. Sorry. You can have your own interpretation. You're entitled to that. That's not what this is. Vain repetition. You know what it's like. Pit bulls. Just keep chanting and be happy. Something over here. Last question because of the time.
Thank you, Maharaj. Just a comment on that last point. In the Sri Bhakti Siddhanta Vaibhava, in the second volume describing Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati's preaching mission by His Holiness Bhaktivikas Swami, he says that how he dealt with Christians, and often this would come up, Christians would say that the Vaishnavas are taking the Lord's name in vain. And what Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati said about that was that he said the Christians misinterpret the meaning of that statement, and that the real meaning of taking the Lord's name in vain is not saying, oh my God or Jesus Christ, but that we pray to the Lord for material benedictions. That's taking the Lord's name in vain, according to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta.
Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Krishna Janmastami ki jai. Now for a little sevanam. I figured that out.
Especially his little mustache.